Welcome to the Wise Women Collective Show.
Join hosts Lynn Schuessler-Williams, Holly Hartman, and Brooke Haynes with their inspiring guests for conversations that fuel personal growth, career success, and community impact.
Tune in to connect and amplify your power, because when women rise, the world follows.
I am Brooke Haynes, and I'm one of the co-hosts of Wise Women Radio, and I'm here with our co-host Lynn Schuessler-Williams, Holly Hartman, and our special guest, Tracy Collins. So, Tracy, I am very excited to have this conversation with you. It's a special time. You're a wonderful example of our conversation today that has to do with personal growth and reinvention. But before we get started, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself, who you are, and how you show up in the world?
So my name is Tracy Collins, and the funny thing is I actually hate talking about myself. So refining my elevator pitch has been something that I had to do in my personal growth transition. So I specialize in working with women in leadership to build scalable, sellable businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've been able to get a little dose of what you do in a couple different ways. I've been able to come upon you in your journey with NBDA, which is National Black Doula Association. And I have seen you transition, grow that, scale that, and now I saw you transition into something totally different and rebrand yourself, and in such a beautiful and inspiring way. And now I'm getting to watch that. So I know one thing's for sure is that anything you say today is going to be something that you have lived and experienced and been a part of. So let me ask you, I want to just jump off with this kind of question. Why reinvention? Like, what is it about reinvention? Why do we have to, when are good times to do it? Why do we do it? Why did you do it? And tell me about it.
So reinvention, I think if you're not changing and growing, then literally, what are you doing? I think complacency is such a great killer. It's a killer of dreams. It's a killer of aspirations. So I am a believer in evolution, a believer in change, and a believer in elevation. And what I know is if I'm not, I don't want to say chasing, but aspiring to whatever it is my next calling is or the next level and layer in my life, then what am I doing? My goal and what I know about me is that I'm always here to be an example for women. And in that, it embodies so much. I know that's why I've been put here on this earth. So for me, when I, you know, scaled my company that you mentioned, the National Black Doulas, I created it, I scaled it, and then I sold it. And I knew in that journey that that was not for me. And people would hear me say that this was not created for me. I did not create this company for me. And it continues to live on to this day. And it continues to serve the population and demographic that it was designed to serve, which was, again, the purpose of it. But in the reinvention process, and when I sold the company, I knew like it was time for me to really focus on what Tracy wanted to do and what Tracy's goals are. And as you know, in the political climate, not to get into politics, but I just did not see my life in the United States. So part of my rebranding is literally moving out of the States. And that journey was, it went from 2022 to almost the end of the third quarter of 2023. And, you know, Mexico has been such a healing space for me. And being a California girl, growing up, I was like, why is everybody going to Mexico? Like, you know, I grew up with Mexico down the street and I grew up with Mexican people. However, really understanding the culture and the healing place that it is, I didn't experience that synergy until I landed in the country itself. So part of my rebranding journey and why it's so important, it's like, I think it's important to be in a place that you feel fulfilled. And because it gives you life, it gives you energy, and it gives you inspiration. And part of my rebranding journey was about a year. It really took about a year because you are not your business. You are not your business. Your business are elements of you, but you as a whole are not your business. And the United States really embeds that in people. You are your work or you are what you do. That's why the common question is, well, how are you? What do you do? And for me, I've always hated that question, hence, which is the reason why it's hard for me to talk about myself. But in my journey of like, who am I now? What am I now? What am I doing? What's my next level and layer of impact? It's like, you know, what I did, no one can take that away from me. What I brought to the table, what I created, that level of leadership that I brought, no one can take that away from me. So now I really enjoy teaching it to other women, how to do it, how to brand yourself, how to rebrand yourself, how to create a vision, you know, bring it to life, and, you know, how to be of impact. And I think that is another piece that is important. It's like, how are you impactful? How are you changing somebody else's life? So it was a process. It was not easy. Introspection is hard. Introspection with the intention of growth is even harder. And then introspection with an intention of growth and your next level of impact, it's like, okay, girl, what you doing now? But here I am. The long answer to that question.
No, it's great. And Brooke, I want to jump in because I want to say, Tracy, this is so much why we do this show and have these roundtable conversations. I think it is so fabulous to hear you say, you know, it took a while. And, you know, my reinvention and my personal growth is a journey, right? Mm-hmm. I think we, you know, we get so much social programming as women, especially around success and what does it mean to be a success? And there's so much in our face on social media about, you know, whatever other people are doing. And there's this comparison mm-hmm. culture going on. And I love this opportunity for us to be inspired by people who are walking the journey and modeling for us that it doesn't always have to look like, you know, whatever the social media postcard thing, right?
Yeah, I agree.
So thank you for that.
Thank you.
And while that's true, she did it with grace. I will tell you, just from a person like watching the move and the transformation. I remember a couple times we're like, it's hard. You know, it's hard to know. You have to really know yourself or learn yourself. Mm-hmm. And the way you embodied that, even when you said the words, of knowing from a woman to a woman, you were going through a lot. Mm-hmm. You captured it. You embraced it and you took it on so eloquently and so beautifully. It makes me want to tear up. So, so you will forever be an inspiration to me in that matter. Mm-hmm. So.
Thank you. I think you guys are so good. Go ahead.
I've got a question for you. When I loved what you shared, and I speak with a lot of women myself and a lot of the leadership roles that I take on as well. And you said a year took a long time. And for a lot of women, that's probably like, oh my gosh, that's like, that was so quick to do that big of a change. But for us people that run quick and we build quick, like a year seems like a lifetime. But for a lot of our listeners, 1 year could seem like, oh my gosh, how'd they do that and so quick? Mm-hmm. But what I'm curious about for you is it sounded like you had that desire and then something switched that put the gas on the pedal. Was there an aha moment or an event that made you make that decision to go, okay, now it's time?
You know what my aha moment was, is what I realized nobody could take away from me. Mm-hmm. When I realized what no one could take away from me, a lot of times people, and especially women, I focus on women, we think that whatever we bring to a job, if the job owns it, not recognizing that your skill set is your skill set. So when I realized that what I did, nobody could take away from me, I can just duplicate it 2.0 now. And I can teach and show other women how to duplicate it 2.0. And that was my aha moment. And I was like, that's it. Because I was a woman and still am a woman in leadership. But now how do I transition that to offering, you know, products or, you know, services for and designed with that woman in mind? That was a good one. Good question.
Yeah, I love that. And Brooke, I'm probably interrupting you because I know you have other things to ask. But Tracy, you know, when you think about what was the thing, when did you know you had successfully navigated this reinvention? You know, when did you feel like, oh, I'm actually on this path and here we go and it's working and you know, it's coming together and that sort of thing. Like, I think there's a lot of social programming around that for us too, right? About what, you know, that old saying about people give up 1 minute before it worked, you know, kind of thing. So how did you feel about it in the process of kind of getting to the place where you knew it was working and you were doing it?
I think I'm still learning that part. However, I am a believer in words, and words are reality. They become reality. And so when I started really amplifying my verbiage about I'm a woman in leadership supporting other women in leadership, I help women build scalable, sellable businesses. And because those are things that I've done as a person, as a woman, and as a businesswoman. And so what I started to attract are, with the intention of, women who are leading other people. So now the women that are in my, you know, collective or who work with me privately, they are leaders, meaning they're in the tech space, or they are women in who are also consultants and have other people that they work with, or therapists, or somebody who is a project manager. So these are people who lead other people. And that's the mindset in the woman that I tapped into. But I had to embody her. And that's the thing. It's like, you have to become what you want. And I do it intentionally because I want other people to see that it's possible.
Love that. Yeah.
And that is something from personally watching you through this process, I think you have done and nailed is, you know, it's interesting because it wasn't long ago when I learned that you can put energy into a picture, right? And you can, and pictures can change. Mm-hmm. There's two parts to that. One, when someone takes a picture, your energy is there, but that picture 2 years later can change. Mm-hmm. That same picture. Mm-hmm. And I saw your pictures change. I don't know how much of that was me changing and seeing a different part of you. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, I saw that something in your website and your pictures and all of the stuff that I had seen several times start to morph into this different energy, even though it wasn't a different picture. It was just the energy when the picture was different.
Yeah.
And I felt like that's, it happened about the same time you might've been possibly stepping into that as the same time, you know? So when in this world of women leaders, a lot of people, a lot of women have lots of different roles and not just one. And when you find, if you were to come across a client, like take me for example, and I'm like, well, I have like four different businesses, but I'm ready to really, the difference that's happening with me is I'm coming out. I'm no longer working under the umbrella and being this brand and that brand and that brand. Brooke's coming through and working on her brand with them. Okay. Mm-hmm. So is there any advice that you would give for someone who is starting to recognize this reinvention and stepping into this reinvention, but they haven't really grabbed onto it yet?
Yeah, I would have you think about what it is that you bring to the table, and then what is the ideal client that you are trying to target. Like, who is that? I don't, like, in your wildest dreams, like, who is that individual? And then how can Brooke through a picture, just a picture, how do we capture that element of Brooke so they can say, so that ideal client can say, that's who I want to work with. She gives me like a goal to attain to just by what she embodies. Then once we capture that element of like the visual branding of people, then we have to go into how you are packaging yourself from a word standpoint. So what is your business model? What is your elevator pitch? And then how are you coming across? We need to be able to capture people because social media, Lynn, it has dummied our attention spans down. So how are we capturing them within the first 7 seconds of what you say? So when you hear me say, I work with women in leadership to build scalable, sellable businesses, I take care of that right away. You know who I am, what I do, who I'm targeting, and what the goal is. What is the goal? And so all of that is captured. So it would be several spaces how I would break that down to bring all of that together.
Wow, that I looked for a quick pen and didn't have one near me when you said, who do you embody, for that person to say, I want to be that just by the way she embodies it.
Yeah.
You said because it way more eloquently. Visual, I'm going to cut it out though.
We're visual people. So we have to make sure that we are embodying the individual that we are aspiring to attract. So not only we are elevating ourselves simultaneously, because the individual may not be where you are, but they may have the resources to say, okay, she can take me there. So I'm going to work with that one.
Yeah. I love that. And I want to say, you know, a long time ago at the beginning of my coaching and entrepreneurial career, somebody said to me, be the woman you want to serve. If you want people to show up to your coaching and be excited to work with you and pay in full on time and do all, then you do all those things, right? Yep. And it was the best advice anyone ever gave me. And I really feel like it has served me so much along the journey. And so there are little things like that that we can, but women have, again, received messages so consistently about, you know, not receiving praise well. None of us were, when we were 9 years old, right, taught to receive a compliment and taught to be in front of the room necessarily and all that stuff, right? And so, Tracy, I'm wondering, when you work with women who think they're ready to scale their business and they have some sort of self-doubt, or they think, oh, well, she's for somebody way better than me, but not for me, and you know they've got something special, how do you help them kind of be willing to step into who they are and willing to see the value they're bringing to the world? Because it's my deep belief that when, you know, it's what the Dalai Lama said about Western women are going to save the world. Like we want, and we all are benefited. It's why we're here having a conversation. We're all benefited when women step into their greatness and power. And so, so when you see it and you don't see them seeing it, how do you help them?
There's two parts to that. If you remove the divine feminine from anything, it is going to fail. And I think we're living in the real time of that. So when a woman embodies who she is and understanding what you are and what the divine feminine is and walk into that and be unapologetic. In it, like, to me, being a girl is the best thing in the world. Like, I would never. Like, I love everything about that, being a woman and being, you know, feminine and embracing that feminine energy. And the problem with the society that we're in today, the Western society, is that it's perpetually male energy. That masculine energy, it is counterintuitive to everything that you bring to the table as a woman. So you can't, yeah, I can be in my masculine mind when I'm in meetings, if I'm conducting myself and I want to get a certain level of outcome because I have to show up that way. But it doesn't mean that I can't have that feminine essence, you know, complementing, you know, the process throughout the entire time. Now, as far as seeing somebody who hasn't yet stepped into that, I actually just taught a masterclass on that called embracing, or how to deal with your imposter syndrome, that imposter syndrome. And really, this is why we start by writing down everything that you can imagine that you've accomplished. Write it down. I don't care how young you can remember. If you were 5 years old and you learned how to ride a bike, write that down, because that's a level of accomplishment. So when you need a reminder of who you are, what you've done, and what you achieved, you have that list to remind you. So it's like, it's not a question of, well, it's not for me. It should be, why not me?
Yes. Yes. Why not me? We should teach every little girl to say, why not me? Why not me?
Mm-hmm. I've got a question to segue into that. I love where you've gone with why not me, but a piece of what you shared in your story that I don't hear as often, especially from women, is the scalable and sellable. What you mentioned at the beginning, talking about creating this Black doula society, like how empowering that is to create something that didn't exist before, but then to say it wasn't mine and that you're willing to sell it to let it be its own entity. Here in the States, we often are very attached to the things we've created and we've built, and it's part of that masculine energy. So mm-hmm. Could you share a little bit about that mindset? Because I don't hear that a lot from people. It feels to me that a lot of women I talk to, they feel very entitled, or like there's that scarcity mindset of like, oh, I built it. I can't release it. It's my baby. That's like when it is... You had a much different perspective on it. Could you share a little bit more about that? Because I have a feeling most people that are listening may not have had that modeled to them as much of this concept of not even just the mission of having a business to sell it, but to create something that is so powerful to then be lovingly being able to release it. So you step into your next reinvention. That's powerful. Do you mind sharing a little bit more about that part of it?
Yeah. You're not going to be who you are 5 years from now, 10 years from now, neither is your business. And so you need to be able to create a product or service with the idea of your next level in life, with the idea of this is not where I'm going to be. I may want to retire. I may want to travel the world. I may want to, I don't know, sit and learn knitting. I don't know, whatever it is, but you need to make room for that new whoever you are. And that is more, honestly, I see more women doing that than men. I see women who are like the mama birds. This is my baby. I've created this. This is my identity. And we do that because, you know, we're natural nurturers. Most women are natural nurturers. But in business, it doesn't work that way. It does not. Business works like you have to be able to remove your personal identity from your business identity. Your business is its own entity. So you have to grow your baby up to live and thrive alone, not alone, but without you leading it. And so when we start to take on that mindset, you have to operate as if you are going to sell it and then create, move backwards in it. And we're so behind when it comes to selling businesses. Women, I mean, just the percentages are wild, because men are taught, like, you know, you do this. This is how it works. You build and you grow and you sell and you monetize and you move on. But women are like, no, this is what I've done. And you can't do that. Your business is its own person. And so you have to create it and structure it to where it can grow and thrive without you. And this is why there's a difference between business branding and then this personal branding. And oftentimes we combine the two. And that's what make people think that you are your business. And that's why I started out saying you're not your business. Mm-hmm. You're not.
One of the biggest game changers when I work with my clients is giving them that question. What is your exit strategy? And the reason why is because it totally changes their mindset. What do you mean by exit strategy? And then that helps them start to pull apart a little bit. Yeah. But I watch from there. We don't, you know, I just watch how they help to pull apart from there. I can tell you that I haven't personally been as good with How would I exit as I am working with my clients on how would they exit?
Yeah.
And so today, you know, I am hearing the message, be the person you want to be. I mean, so far as like, you know, how are you, Brooke, going to peel away from your business next? Because I just keep morphing my businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I just keep changing them into something.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, too, this circle right here, this Wise Women Collective show happening at all is what I would say has been the biggest lesson for me in that, because having collaborations and collaborative partners, I think, is such a powerful way to do that step away, right? You can't hold on tight to something when you bring partners in, when you bring collaborators in, right? And you know, Holly and Brooke and I have all been big proponents of collaboration over competition as a core value of our community. And I think that's a really, for me, that has been one of the best ways, because, you know, when you're a solopreneur, you're so used to do everything yourself and all of that. But, you know, looking at it the way you said, Tracy, as you're not your business. Your business is an entity that has a purpose and a values and something that it is creating in the world that is separate from you is just so powerful, and gives us all that opportunity to ask the question about, well, what's next? Mm-hmm. And what is the exit strategy, Brooke? That's a great thing to ask your clients. I love it.
Yeah, I specialize in strategy, and I specialize honestly in exit strategy. I've exited a country. I've exited a business, and there's not that many people that have done both successfully. There's just not, especially women who look like me. And so they have to, representation absolutely matters. You know, seeing somebody who has done it before you, but there's steps and processes to get there. It takes an average of 2 years to even position your business to be sold. So if you don't even think about what an exit strategy is, or know what an exit strategy is, you're going to be starting from scratch about creating an exit strategy. And in the process of me exiting my company, when I learned that, I was like, oh, crap. Here I go. So I was starting, even though I was in my company, I was starting from scratch with the exit process. Mm-hmm. And it's not about building your company. You can do that, but then there's a way to like exit it. And what people don't think about is when people purchase businesses, it is they're purchasing the system of the business. So how are the systems in that business working? And they have to be, how are they monetizing? What can this individual company or, you know, corporation buy? If you're selling something, if you're exiting your company. So what are they buying? And they can't buy you. They can't. This is why you're not that.
Somebody might be able to. No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's just right.
So Tracy, this conversation went way too fast. I mean, it was just a wonderful, I could keep going for a long time. So I'd like to wrap up with a couple different things. I'd like to wrap up first. I really want everybody to know how they can find you, where to go. It will be, of course, underneath the video when they listen to this, but for those who aren't reading and those who are just listening, tell everybody how they can find you. And then I'm going to leave you with one last question. So, and that last question is, when talking to a group of wise women, what is one wish that you have for them?
So I'm going to answer the question first. Yeah. So my wish for them is to write down. And the reason why I'm a big proponent of writing things down is when you are spelling, you're actually spelling. When you're spelling, you're spelling. So write down the amplification of you. Who are you? Like in your wildest, I don't care what if you may feel is unattainable. I want you to write it down. And then start working to become her. Like, and in that, don't identify yourself attached to anybody else. And oftentimes women do that. If you ask a woman, well, who are you? Well, I'm somebody's, I'm such and such as wife, I'm such and such as mother. That's not who you are. That's not, that's just a part of, you know, those are a part of you, but that's not who you are. So really getting into who are you, and without being attached to anything, meaning your job or your career or anybody else, and then write that down 2.0. As far as where you can find me, it's TracyCollinsOfficial.com, TracyCollins, official.com is my website, but I'm Tracy Collins everywhere on every social media platform is my name. You can find me.
You are definitely Google. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here and kicking us off. We really appreciate your time. Thank you all.
Thank you for joining us on the Wise Women Collective Show.
We trust you're leaving inspired, empowered, and ready to make a difference. Keep the momentum going. Join our Wise Women Collective community at wisewomencollectivehq.com.
Connect with other women, amplify your power, and together we'll continue to rise. Until next time, stay strong and connected. Because when women rise, the world follows.